Listen to these verses from the beginning and the end of the book that we love more than any other book. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea, over the birds of the air, over all the cattle, over all the creatures of the earth, and over all the creeping things that creep upon the earth." So God created humankind in his own image. In God's image he created them. Male and female he created them. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the earth and the old earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and pain will be no more. Crying will be no more. For these first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, you are our refuge and our shield. Our hope is in your word, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, this has been a powerful journey this week, as always. A joy to be on it with every one of you. There were only 5 songs in Carla's book, Songs of Ascent, but we have 6 chapels. And I wondered how to summarize those 5 songs. And I remember Songs of Ascent, A-S-S-E-N-T, these are songs of yes. And I remember back in the 80s and 90s when I was spending more time on airplanes than anywhere else, there were always advertisements in the online magazines for a guy who was teaching a seminar on negotiation. And the title of that negotiation seminar was Getting to Yes. Getting to Yes. How do you stop bickering with the guy on the other side of the table and get to yes? Get to a yes that everybody can buy into, everybody can sign off on. So that's my title for this morning's little meditation, Getting to Yes. How do we get from where we are, from disobedience, from reluctance, from spiritual apathy? How do we move from there to yes? The readings began way back at the very beginning, at the headwaters of humankind. Male and female, he created us, both in his image, neither male nor female, more or less than the other in his reflecting his image. Male reflects things of God's image that female does not, cannot. Female reflects things about his image that male cannot. At the consummation, in the words from Revelation that Tamara read, at the consummation, together, male and female, one glorious people, transformed, together, we are a bride adorned for her husband. If you take one thing away from these talks, I loved what Keith said the other night about gender-inclusive language. Guys, please, let's all become more sensitive about gender-inclusive language. Whichever translation of the scriptures you use, whenever it says sons, if it doesn't also say daughters, feel free to take the liberty to say daughters and sons. Wherever it says brothers, feel free to take the liberty to say brothers and sisters. You're not violating the admonition of taking away or adding to the Word of God. God looks at all of us on equal footing at that foot of the cross. And guys, we also have to get over the gender issue about being a part of a feminine entity. We are being prepared to spend eternity as members of a feminine personage, the very bride of Jesus. And gals, if the guys fail you on gender language, try to just overlook it. When they just read brothers, or they just read sons, hear sisters, hear daughters. That's what God intends. And remember, you are fully adopted into sonship just as much as any robust guy in the room. And we have perhaps farther to go than you do, because we have to learn a different way of thinking when we are the bride of Christ, guys being part of the bride of Christ. But how did we get from the disobedience of Eve in the garden and Adam, how did we get from the disobedience in the garden to the unequivocal yes of that young woman met by the angel? How do we get from disobedience to simplicity? Simplicity that responded, "I am your servant. Be it unto me according to your word." How do we get to that receptivity? How do we get to that wisdom? Wisdom where, when her soul cried out with a joyful shout, it was not just for her, because she was being called blessed among women. But if you read on down through the song, through the Magnificat, she knew that it was to the benefit, it was to the inurement, the benefit of all of Israel. And not just all of Israel, but to everyone downtrodden throughout the entire human race. She had the wisdom to see it wasn't just about her. It was about everyone. And she had confidence. She had such confidence in this one that she served, this one whom she would bear in her womb. She had such confidence that even though a sword as sure as shooting was going to pierce her soul, she knew it was coming. She had such confidence that she rested in him. "Be it unto me according to your word." And she had such buoyancy that even when she made a request of her son, her Lord, at that wedding party, and it sounded like the answer to her request was no, she still said, "Let it be according to your word, to me and to this whole wedding party. Just do what he says. If he doesn't say anything, don't do anything. Just do what he says." Buoyancy. Unbelievable. She managed to get to yes. And we've got to get there by God's grace, folks, in every aspect of our lives, in our, not just in our hidden time with God, but in our relationships, in our families, in our offices, in our churches, with people that we struggle with and disagree with people who despise us, and people that we're tempted to despise. We've got to get to yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, be it unto me according to your word. How did Mary get there? How did she get there? You know, I think it was Connie that preached on this, and I didn't know the book until you preached on it, Connie. And forgive me if I'm remembering who preached the sermon incorrectly. But the Eugene Peterson title, "A Long Obedience in the Same Direction." Now, we believe she was only 14 or 15 years old. But that's already a good long chunk of time for a long obedience in the same direction. I was chatting with Andy Hill last night. What would the spirituality of a 14 or 15 year old Jewish woman in that time be? How was it formed? It would have been formed by a regular recitation of the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." She didn't just recite it, but she internalized it. Let it shape her. She would have prayed regularly, at least twice, probably three times a day, according to Psalm 55, 16, and 17. Probably three times a day she would have prayed. She could have started with the Shema, perhaps another liturgical prayer or two that they would have known. And then I have an idea that, like my wife Janet, who's, I want to be more like her when I grow up, because she, her internal default, her interior default activity is prayer. Janet falls silent. "What are you doing, Janet? What are you thinking about?" "Oh, I'm praying." "Oh, who are you praying for?" "Oh," and she begins to name a list. She's about to fall asleep at night. I can hear she's not quite asleep yet. I say, what you thinking about, baby? Oh, I was just praising the Lord. Oh, really, what particular? Oh, just his mercy, his grace. She used the words grace a lot. I think Mary did that. I think Janet's doing what Mary did. She wasn't just formed by the liturgical prayer, but she let that prayer of the Spirit bubble up in her heart all the time. For those of you for whom the liturgical prayer might be a new twist, and it may feel cumbersome to you, there's a wonderful little story in Lauren Winter's book, Mudhouse Sabbath. She was beginning to see this young man and have affections toward him. A friendship was forming, and she went to another city to meet his family with him. And she found herself not particularly excited to be seated beside her friend's senile grandfather in an Episcopal church worship service. She said this poor old man couldn't remember her name 5 seconds after she was introduced. He really had no idea where he was. Alzheimer's had really done its work in him. It's probably even miraculous that they'd gotten him to church. She said he seemed disconnected from everything. Until those liturgical components rolled around that he had said for years and years. When it was time to say, let's proclaim the mystery of faith, he dialed right in. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And she said, and you could tell he knew what he was saying. When it was time to rehearse our faith, to proclaim our faith, I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. She said every word of the Nicene Creed just came, not just like clockwork, not just like rote, not vain repetition, glorious repetition. That faith had been shaped in him by the repetition of liturgical prayer. And when it came time, and now as Jesus taught us, let's pray as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. He knew it. It welled up in him. I believe that Mary dwelt in Scripture. Think about what happened in the receptivity day that we talked. And when Elizabeth greets her and says, blessed are you. Oh, I'm so blessed that you're here. And she begins to quote Scripture, a pretty good chunk of Scripture, Hannah's prayer, and honors Elizabeth with it. That indicates to me that Mary spent time in the Scriptures. It was a long obedience in one direction. She let him shape her through liturgical prayer, through spontaneous prayer, through watching the elders around her, being mentored by them, by internalizing Scripture, dwelling in Scripture, being molded as clay in the potter's hand. So that when the angel came, she asked one question, how can this be? And when she is assured God is doing it, God will do it. And she could see it was going to be a complicated journey. The natural thing for her to say was yes. Be it unto me according to your word. Every promise of God to us in Christ is yes. May our response, like Mary's, back to him, be yes.